the copyrighted program created by the Rio Grande Oil Company.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars, engine all cars, broadcast 98. Check all construction jobs in the district for missing dynamite. Any information for Captain Wolf of the Arson Bureau of the Fire Department. That's all. Rolls and curtains.
Like that and follow the fire engine?
Well, I guess I could keep up with them, all right. I use the same gasoline those fire engines do, Rio Grande crack.
Oh, so you're another Rio Grande fan, are you? I thought that was the gasoline the police cars use.
You don't mean to tell me the fire engine uses it, too.
Well, Rio Grande advertises that everywhere crack gasoline is sold, it powers more fire engines, police cars, and emergency equipment than any other brand. I guess they couldn't say that year after year unless it was true.
You know, I've heard a lot of talk about that Rio Grande crack gasoline. Do you really think it's any different?
Yes, I don't know. They've got something in that patented cracking process of theirs that you can't get in any other gasoline. I used to use the cheapest gasoline I could buy. And
I do.
Then I decided I wanted to experience some of that police car performance Rio Grande advertised. So I started using Rio Grande crack gasoline last year. And I certainly get more for my money than ever before.
Every motorist who drives into a Rio Grande station gets the biggest value in gasoline history. Listen at the end of tonight's program for Rio Grande's free gift offer. And now it is our privilege to introduce Captain Paul Wolf of the Los Angeles Fire Department.
Although fire prevention campaigns deal with the unknown and careless causes of fires, there is another kind of fire which causes more death and a greater loss than carelessness. I think it is just as important to stress and bring home to the public the crime of arson. Statistics show us that 16,000 lives are lost every year in the United States by fire, and I am safe in saying that one-fourth of that number, or 4,000 people, die as a result of criminally set fires. And while arson is one of the most contemptible types of crimes, it is nevertheless a crime which is resorted to by some of our so-called better class of people. Arson fires are responsible for the loss of lives of a great number of firemen due to the dangerous substances which are involved in setting such fires, and it should be the patriotic duty of any citizen observing suspicious circumstances in connection with a fire to report same to the authorities. Further, you never know when a crime of this type may be committed in the building next door to you or your loved ones, exposing them unnecessarily to danger.
Adams, reporting from the park at the corner of Temple and Fodry at 3:55 a.m.
Okay, Adams.
Anything for me?
Nope. Everything's flat.
St. George, what date's today?
June 17th, 1926. Why?
Just counting the days until my girl gets back from Frisco.
You got nothing better to do?
Not on this beat. That never happens around here. Hey, wait a minute. Did you hear that?
What?
Sounded like an explosion.
Oh, you're
crazy. There goes another one. It's in the Huawei Theater across the street. Turn in the alarm, will you, Sarge? And I'll get right over there.
Okay.
Your move, Eddie.
You're crazy. It's your move.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't you just move that piece over there to here?
I did not.
Now, look, I don't want to be nasty about this, but it's your move.
Well, if that's the only way you can beat me, I wash my hands of the whole game. Cheaters never part.
Oh, are you calling me a cheater?
I'm telling you that it's your move, and what's more...
Now, wait a minute. Four. Six, that's it.
It's a goal, boy.
Thank you.
report of dynamite in the Fermi building results in a hurried phone call to Captain Wolf, chief of the Los Angeles arson squad. Arriving at the scene of the fire within 15 minutes, Captain Wolf finds the other building still burning. Disregarding personal safety, his first thought is to save as much evidence as possible before the fire completely consumes the building. Rushing upstairs, he is met by a scene of utter confusion.
Where was the dynamite found? Here in the janitor's closet. The boys got it out, took it over on the vacant lot next door.
Captain, just found another part of dynamite.
Where?
Down the candy store in the candy station.
Come on, boys, we got to work fast. One way or another, more of that stuff around here, and we've got to find this before the fire does.
Captain, Slim.
Yes, sir.
You boys fix this one. Keep your eyes peeled.
Yes, sir.
If you find anything, get it out of here and get it out of here fast.
Gatlinburg. Yes, sir. You and Jones better go through the main floor.
Right.
I'll be down the candy store. I got a hunch there might be something interesting down there.
Well, I can't see why that stuff didn't go off before they found it.
None of my funny stuff. Can't depend on what it's going to do.
There's been plenty of it that did go from the looks of that projection room in the lodge hall.
Through there, through the floor and out the wall.
Yeah, well, here's the candy store. And would you look at that floor?
Gasoline all over the floor. Well, the plan this job didn't intend there should be anything left when he got through.
Well, we had to bust in the front door, Captain. When we got in, we found the back door open. Looks like somebody come in that way. There was a hole cut in the door just below the lock.
Back door, huh?
Let's take a look at it.
Let's go on.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the way they entered, all right.
Hey, wait a minute. Did you say this is the way that door was when you found it?
Yes, sir. That's it. Just like it is. Open and propped against the wall.
Well, then there's something mighty funny about this whole thing.
What do you mean?
Well, take a look at these shoes here behind the door.
Yeah?
Well, there's chips in this door in them. If whoever did this cut through their door to reach the key on the inside, how could the chip get in a pair of shoes over here by the wall?
Well, yes, you're right, Cato.
And what does that tell to you, Wolf?
The same thing you're thinking of. An inside job.
Exactly. And now the thing to do is to find the proprietor of this place and see what he has to say.
What's your name?
Judge Finley.
You're the proprietor of the store in the Wireless Theater building?
That's right.
What kind of a business do you conduct there?
Well, high screens, hallway, delegation, and the lunchroom.
What nationality are you, Stanley?
Polish.
Stanley, your right name?
Well, my whole name is Stanislavski, but I changed it to Stanley so the people in this country could pronounce it.
I see. And are you a citizen of the United States or your own passport?
Passport.
You realize, don't you, that the reason we're questioning you is to clear up a situation which surrounds the attempted burning of a building where your business is located?
Yes, sir.
And do you realize that you're suspected of being one of the men implicated in it?
Well, I may be suspected. Why not?
Well, now, when did you first get to the scene of the fire?
Well, my landlord brought me about 5 o'clock.
And when you arrived there, did you go in your store?
Not, sir.
Tell me, Stanley, how do you lock your place when you go home?
Always from the desk. I turn the key in the back door and then leave to the front door.
When you close that back door, Lars, did you put anything against it?
No, sir.
And whose shoes did you find behind it?
I ain't got no shoes there.
And whose shoes might they be?
I don't know.
Have you got anyone working for you?
Yes. Abel Finley.
Did he have a key to the store?
No, not even my wife has a key. Only me.
Now, how do you explain the fact that in your store we found gasoline on the floor and in a barrel off in back of the porch? And dynamite on the cash register, behind the jars on itself and in the icebox. Totaling 76 bits of taps and fuses.
I can't say. I don't know anything about them.
Does it mean anything to you that we found that the window in your store was jimmied with the same tool that was used to cut a hole in your back door? And that the tool we found was one that was found in your house? A meat cleaver found in your kitchen?
Tell you, I don't know anything about it.
All right, you can go now, Stanley. There's a few things I want to check on before I ask anything more from you. In the meantime, I think if I were you, I'd think it over and see if there isn't something you've forgotten.
Allowing Stanley time to think things over in silence, Captain Cato has numerous witnesses brought before him. The result of his investigation now?
Now, would you tell me exactly what you saw, Mr. Gamble?
Well, my wife and I awakened at the first explosion. They looked across the street. They lived right opposite the theater building. My wife said, look, John, the theater's on fire. I jumped up and looked out the window. Sure enough, flames were shooting out of the skylight on the top of the building. I was just about to get dressed and go over when I saw a man come running out from behind the building and then run down the alley.
You get a good look at this man?
Well, I couldn't see his features, but I know he was a stocky fella. He's about 5'7" or so. And he was running like the very devil.
Thank you, Mr. Gaffer. I appreciate your coming to me with this information. It might help a lot.
The George family never had a car before. But the last 5 days, he's been driving around in a Ford sedan. It seems mighty funny to me. Then, of course, I never would have mentioned a word about it, except for this fire thing, and you're suspecting him of having done it and all. I hope you won't think me a busybody, Mr. Taylor.
Oh, no, not at all, Mrs.
Waller, Edith Waller.
Well, Mrs. Waller, I am glad you brought this up. It's a very important point, and thank you.
Oh, that's all right. Thank you.
That, from the testimony of many witnesses, the finger of guilt points more accurately at George Stanley every moment. Meanwhile, Catalinos, battalion chief of the Los Angeles Fire Department, makes his report.
After thoroughly investigating the aspects of this case, it is my conviction that George Stanley and Abel Stanley, employed by Stanley, attempted to burn this building.
It's been done about locating the Stanley man.
Every police station in all the surrounding towns has been notified to be on the lookout for him. We have a tip that he might be in Tijuana for a couple of boys who've gone down there.
You know, if this man's got to be burned, before we can do a thing to Stanley. The piece of evidence we have against him is purely circumstantial. You know what the courts will do in that case.
Yes. Throw the whole thing out.
And we can't let that happen. Now, there's only one of two things we can do. Find Finley or get Stanley to talk.
Officers from the Los Angeles Police Department and from the arson squad searched through Tijuana, but not once did they catch sight of the missing Finley. Meanwhile, in the office of Captain Wolf.
Stanley, how do you explain the fact that your help with this bridge was suddenly after the fire?
I don't know anything about it.
In other words, Stanley, you deny having anything to do with this case.
Of course I do.
How much insurance did you have in your property?
Well, about $9,000 worth, including the fixtures.
You think this will cover the loss?
I don't know. I haven't been able to see how much damage was done, but I imagine it will.
Have you ever handled any explosives before?
I have never handled any explosives at all.
Ever have a gun?
No. Hey. I don't know what you're driving at, but I tell you, I don't know anything about this fire, and you can't make me say I do.
It's getting mighty hot under the collar for a fellow that hasn't done anything, Stanley. I was only asking you some routine questions.
Well, are you so nervous that you're pumping all this stuff at me? You think I was a criminal?
You might be at that.
What, this?
Never mind, Stanley. I think you heard me well enough.
Once again, Stanley has returned to his cell, and Captain Wolf carries on his investigation. Everything seems to point to Stanley, but nothing definite to be pinned upon him. No actual piece of evidence strong enough to convince a jury. Then, a week after the fire, one of the officers assigned to the investigation returned from San Diego with a companion.
Captain Wolf, this is Mr. Guerrero.
How do you do, Mr. Guerrero? Will you sit down?
Thank you.
This officer tells me that you had some dynamite stolen from your outfit down in San Diego.
That right?
That's right. Why didn't you report this to the police when you discovered it?
Well, you see, I was afraid to report it because I was afraid that if you want to find out, I'd get fired.
Didn't it strike you that it might be pretty dangerous to have all that dynamite floating around loose?
I don't think of that. I was only afraid of my job.
When did this happen?
On June 15th, sometime in the evening.
Have any idea who did it?
No, only one of my men saw a car hanging around the afternoon. He told me about it, but I don't think anything of it until next day when I find the explosive missing. Then, as I say, I was afraid to report it.
What kind of a car was it?
A Ford sedan.
Did you see how many people were?
Two men, he say. When he go up to speak to them, they stop the car and drive away.
You realize, don't you, that this is a very serious thing you've done. I'm reporting the theft as soon as you discovered it. If you'd have known this earlier, we might have had the guilty parties in custody for now.
I know, Captain. But honest, Captain, I don't think anything about it when it happened. I was too frightened.
Well, now he's trying over spoke notes. The first thing he's got to do is check every level up and find who rented the Ford sedan on that day.
Well, the man is
concerned if I am. I'm
trying to find out who entered the Ford sedan on about June 15th. To keep records of this sort of thing?
Yeah, certainly. But there will be an awful lot of trouble to find out unless you know the name of the party.
That's going to be too bad, then, because I'm going to find out. And if it takes all day, you and me are going over the book until we do.
But they feel easy for me yet.
Maybe this will help. If it is bad.
Oh, Kepler. But certainly we can look through the book. Sure, it's a pleasure. If you'll come into my office.
All right.
Have a seat? Cigar?
Sure. Don't mind if I do.
I got the book right here now. Now, when did you say it was here? When didn't know about?
June 15th. Right around there.
June, let me see, man. April, May. Here we are. June, 12, 13, 16.
How about it? See anything like it?
Leslie, Ford, Ruth. Wait a minute. Did you say a Ford sedan?
Yeah.
There is one that ended on the 10th of June. It's the only Ford sedan we got.
How long is it out?
Let's see, from the 10th till the morning of the 17th.
You're just about right. You got any way of giving me a description of the party we got of it?
Yeah, I remember him. His name, he said, was Siegmund.
Siegmund? What'd he look like?
Well, as I remember, he had a bomb arm. But he seemed to be able to drive all right. And he had a driver's license.
You're leaving the address?
Yeah, that's right in the book. 25, 26 Temple Street.
Oh, yeah, that's the baby we want. How far has the car been driven?
Let's see, out at 31,000, in at 31,650.
That's quite a bit of mileage for 1 week's driving, isn't it?
Yeah, quite a bit. But when people rent cars, they seem to drive more than they would alone. I guess they want to get their money's worth or something.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, thanks a lot. Well, you've been a great help.
Sure, anything to help the law. Hey, if you ever want to rent a good car, don't forget this place. We got the best prices in town.
Okay, partner, I'll remember that.
Well, goodbye. Call again.
What'd you drive in a blended Ford sedan, Senator?
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
You mean you didn't rent a Ford car on June 10th and keep it 7 days?
I did not.
Did something?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
But your neighbors came to tell you I didn't land in one for about a week before the fire.
It's all a frame-up, I tell you. I never heard of it.
How do you explain the fact that there was a Ford sedan answering the description of one you were seen riding and landed on June 10th? The address is your place of business.
I don't know. Maybe Jimmy would enter this, but I didn't.
All right, Sammy. You go right ahead and deny the whole thing, everybody. And I'll tell you this. We're building a pretty good case against you. Very shortly, we're going to have enough to bring you into court. When we do, you're going to have an awful lot of things to explain away, and that's not going to be too easy.
Fetching the description of the man, he rented the car with descriptions of the missing criminal, police are certain that the two are the same man. However, nothing possible was found that can link Stanley with the actual crime. Witnesses are questioned, only to say that the man they saw leaving the scene of the fire might have been Stanley, but they can't be sure. The workman from San Diego, who saw the two men in the Ford, is questioned. He says he thinks he can identify them, but isn't positive. Every piece of evidence in, every clue run down, Captain Wolf, Chief Enos, and Assistant Captain of Captain Stato meet in Captain Wolf's office to discuss their plans before bringing the case to trial.
Sam is guilty as the devil. We all know that. I'm skeptical about our securing the conviction on the evidence we have.
I don't see the last traitor that we had Jimmy, but he seems to have completely disappeared off the face of the earth. I've had men on his trail ever since the fire, but so far we haven't even gotten one good lead.
His laborers in San Diego can positively identify Samuel and the stand, he's got a good chance. If he turns out to be another I think so artist, he's coming.
What do you think, Peter? Do you even try to get some money, or did he go to court with what he's got?
I'm afraid he's no choice. He can't hold Sunday forever on the speaking side. He's either guilty or he goes free. But it's got to be one or the other.
All right. I guess all we can do is to take a chance and hope that the jury sees the case in the right light. I hate to think of this guy getting off scot-free.
Well, you know these juries. I don't know why it is, but for some unknown reason, they seem to consider arson a very funny thing. I don't understand just what they think it is, but I found that most juries have to have absolute proof in an arson case, but they just laugh it off as much as to say, go ahead and burn down another building. They like to have a fire sign.
And he's almost up there, isn't it? Well, we can only hope that this time we get a jury made up of people who realize how serious a fire can be.
July 20th, 1926. Department 22 of the Superior Court. Judge Robert Peach presiding.
Sounds over the defense, and it's all his business.
Thank you, Your Honor. Will I must be taken to stand, please?
You solemnly swear the statement you're about to make to the truth, hey, please, nothing but the truth, whatever you are.
I do.
What's your name?
Elmer Tree.
Mr. Tree, it has been said that on the evening of June of this year, you saw a man running from the scene of an explosion in the wire of the other building on Temple Street. Is that right?
No, sir.
What? You didn't see a man running across the building, what?
Not on the evening of the 16th.
Then what did you see?
I didn't see anything on that evening. However, on the morning of June the 17th, I saw a man.
Oh, you saw a man on the morning of the 17th. Are you deliberately trying to avoid the questions of this court, Mr. Tree?
I object to the counsel and the
police. We'll take a more civil tone to the witness.
Yes, sir. Now, Mr. Tree, how far are you from this man that you saw running across the building on the morning of the 17th of June, 1926?
I should say about 20 yards.
What?
Fairly so, uh-huh. The moon lit the scene somewhat.
Well, it was dark enough to be uncertain as to the features of any man who might be staying here. 20 or 25 yards away?
I was able to make the man out quite well.
Did you swear to the identity of that man as you saw him again?
I should have to see him to be sure.
There we go. Mr. George, Mr. George, this man you saw.
Would you tell us a little about his outward features?
Short? I'd say he was about 5 feet, 7 or 8, short and fairly stocky.
How was he dressed?
Well, he had on a dark suit and a white shirt. I think his coat was open because I could see his shirt front.
You say that he was a foreigner?
I objected to trying to step into your honor, Mr. Brown. Who asked for Mr. Peter to see that way?
Only trying to establish an identity, Your Honor.
Objection overruled. And that procedure is it.
I repeat, Mr. Trees. Did you say this man you saw was a foreigner?
It was my impression that he was, although I couldn't be certain.
Thank you. May I ask the defendant, George Stanley, to stand up? Thank you. Now, Mr. Trees, was the man you saw running across that vacant lot directly after the explosion something like this man?
Yes, I say he was.
In fact, Mr. Green, this could be the same man. Not
so long as the person is being there.
Well, they phrase your question a little differently.
Mr. Green, could this be the same man?
I believe it could.
Thank you, Mr.
Green.
Yes, sir. I'd like to talk to the family.
Very well.
Why, I suppose to a certain degree that is so. Thank you, Mr. Tree. That would be all. I should like to call Mrs. Eva Zelda to the thing.
Tell me, sir, the statement you're about to make in this case, 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 you're about to make in this
true?
On the morning of June the 17th. Did you notice anything unusual?
No, I should say I did. I thought it had been another earthquake.
Well, what made you think that, Mrs. Joseph?
Goodness sake. The old building across the street flew up. If you'd have heard the noise, you'd have known why.
There was an explosion in the building?
Ain't that what I just said?
You knew Mr. Stanley by sight, did you not?
Yeah, I did. And that's him sitting right over there.
Oh, I will answer the first question, Miss things, and then it's come and sleep, Mrs. Zelda.
Yes, sir. Your honor, I mean.
I understand it, Mrs. Zelda. You saw Mr. Stanley, the defendant, riding in a Ford sedan for about a week preceding the explosion.
Yes, sir. And what's more, I know positively that Mr. Stanley... All right,
please pardon me,
Judge.
Your Honor. Mrs. Zelda, have you ever seen Mr. Stanley with a Ford sedan before this time?
I have not. Well, he never had one.
Is it of your opinion that Mr. Stanley had rented this car?
It most certainly is.
I have sent your Honor. This is the court of justice, and the opinions of the witness are of no matter. I ask that that answer be stricken from the record.
I'm only trying to prove, Your Honor, that the defendant rented this car, drove to San Diego, and with the help of an accomplice, stole the dynamite used in this case.
That is a leading statement. I ask that your instant regard what you say, at this meeting and comfort you to the efforts of the Supreme Court.
Gentlemen, you'll have to stop right here of the court and call a new jury.
I really ask, Your Honor, to have the statement just made in this court given from the record.
For 9 days, the trial continued. Defense fighting prosecution returning the battle. And at the end of the ninth day, the case was given to a jury consisting of 9 women and 3 men. In the jury room, 12 people argued back and forth, pro and con. And finally, 15 hours after they had retired, they returned to the courtroom, hopelessly deadlocked. They were dismissed, and a new trial is set for September 17th. But the counsel for the prosecution finds that lack of evidence leaves no hope for a conviction, and asks that the case be dismissed. Thus, through the sympathy of 9 women, George Stanley, alias Grigor Stanislavski, is free to continue in business until such a time as his accomplice, Abel Finley, is found and brought to trial. Then, and only then, will the truth be revealed.
Average person has no opportunity to come in contact with the suffering caused by fire. I feel sure that if the public saw what we in the fire department see daily, its indifference toward the crime of arson would soon change to a feeling of loathing for one who could stoop to such a means of gaining financial aid. The crime of arson carries with it the second highest sentence to be found. Murder, of course, comes first. But arson carries a penalty ranging from 2 to 20 years in the state penitentiary. And in most states, it is impossible for an arson criminal to be paroled. Only through the most minute investigation of incendiary fires can your fire department learn the various ingenious ways that criminals start them. We want to realize that fact. We hope that after hearing our story tonight, the next time you happen to be called for a jury duty in an arson case, you will think more carefully before you reach the verdict. For this, too, is fire prevention of the most important kind.
Thank you, Captain Wolf. In presenting this case tonight as a reminder of fire prevention week, we are proud of the fact that your fire department has an amazing record for efficiency. And we're also mighty proud that Rio Grande Cracked Gasoline has been chosen to power all firefighting equipment for the city of Los Angeles. In fact, the choice of Rio Grande cracked for all police, fire, and emergency equipment by the cities of Oakland, Berkeley, Los Angeles, San Diego County, Maricopa County, Arizona, and many other western cities and counties has so aroused public interest in this gasoline that Rio Grande cracked sales to motorists are greater today than ever before. And as a special inducement to get more motorists to try this patented process gasoline, all Rio Grande dealers are now offering free gifts. Drive up to the Rio Grande Cracked Gasoline Pump. Ask for your free copy of the Calling All Cars News. And there, amid the true detective stories and latest movie news, you will find pictures of 9 free gifts. take your choice. They're free.
Police calling all cars, attention all cars. Cancellation broadcast 98. Suspected escape 3 because of lack of that evidence. That's all. Over the coast.
Frederick Lindsay, bidding you good night for the Rio Grande Oil Company.